Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Oh, man, welcome to the Move the Sticks podcast, but we're taking it back. We're doing a little differently today. I am hanging out with my guy, fellow NFL Network colleague, Steve Weiss, but the original member of the Cover 2 podcast that he and I used to do way, way, way back in the day. You got to dig in the crates for that. Steve, what's going on, man? How's it hanging?
Buck, like you said, digging the craze back when we did the Cover 2, it was on vinyl. But we were so far ahead of the curve. Like now, I can't wait for today, because if we kick it now like we did then, people would be like, what? What did we miss before this podcast game? Yeah, we brought the heat. It's so good to be back with you, man. I'm so glad we're kicking off the season, you know, with the Hall of Fame game, just getting things going. We got fans in the stands. Let's keep it that way, people. Do what we got to do so we keep having full stadiums. Because it makes a difference. Oh, so I'm fired up, though.
Yeah, it absolutely makes a difference. And so, like, I had to bring Steve on. Steve was all in the mix of the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, the Hall of Fame game. He is well-versed in everything NFL. Then he has a recent partnership that he did with the Atlanta Falcons. So he is on it. And so we're just going to lay out, man. We're just going to talk. So, Steve, getting right to it, let's just talk about the Hall of Fame weekend. Like, what's your biggest takeaway just from the weekend?
Well, I mean, look, the takeaway, if you're a true football fan, you have to do the Hall of Fame at least once in your life, because it's not just the game. It's not just the speeches. It's not just the gold jacket. It is, you know, you have this assemblage of Hall of Famers who come back, and they're everywhere, right? You know, you look, there's Andre Reed here. There's Dan Marino there. There's just so many things. And then you have about 100,000 or so fans come through the weekend. And it's like, this is what it's all about, right? Because the fans are the backbone of the NFL. So they get the up close and personal looks. You know, when I'm sitting there doing interviews with Rod Woodson or Tim Brown, or someone comes over like Wade Phillips or Dick Vermeil, I mean, there's 100 people around the thing just to say, hey, and all these guys stop and take pictures. So that was the best part. And, you know, when it came to the speeches, they were always good. But, of course, nobody set it off like Edgerrin James. I mean, when he capped it with, when I came into the league with gold teeth and I'm leaving – with the gold jacket. It was the ultimate don't judge a book by its cover speech. And I'm just so proud of him because I covered Edge when he was a freshman at Miami, when I was working in Miami. And he was this country dude out of Immokalee, Florida, but he's the same dude today as he was then. Kind of shy, had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and just did things his way, never got in trouble, was always considered one of the best teammates in the world. And, you know, the members of that big 2020 class, I'm sure, really appreciated what he said, because the message after he said what he said with a lot of these other players, when they gave their speeches, players and coaches, was pretty much along the same line, at least in terms of unity and some things we can do to make the world a better place.
You know, here's the thing about Edgerrin James, and this is what is the beauty of the Hall of Fame. That's the first time I've ever really heard Edgerrin James talk.
Yeah.
And really share and let us get a peek behind the curtain on who he is and what he is. And Steve, I came away so impressed with him as a person. Look, I knew everyone had told me about the player and how smart he was and how he played the game and made the game very, very easy. I think people forgot how great he was from the time he stepped into the league, because it was very controversial when Bill Polian and Indianapolis Colts opted to take him over Ricky Williams in that draft. But Edgerrin was after trading Marshall Faulk, yeah, because Bill Polian had to stand off with Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk wanted more money. Bill was like, "Nah, I'm good. I can find a running back and do these things." And man, not only did he find one, but he found one that was a perfect complement to Peyton Manning, because Edgerrin James could catch the ball out the backfield. He was a tough runner. I want to say those first 2 years, he might have led the league in rushing, playing behind Peyton Manning. And then everyone talks about the weapons that they had, Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, but before that, Marcus Pollard and Dallas Clark, and just always Ken Dilch. They always had tight ends and skill guys and a running back. And Edgerrin James just kind of was like the cherry on top of the sundae with his ability to really control the game as a runner.
Yeah, it was interesting, Bucky, because, you know, I was talking to Steve Atwater. You know, Steve and I came out of high school in St. Louis in 1984 together. He was a little bit bigger recruit than me. We were both D1 for a minute.
I didn't even know he was a St. Louis cat. And he was a St. Lunatic.
St. Lunatic came out of Lutheran North High School. He was a quarterback, man. Imagine that dude, that big. He was a wishbone quarterback.
Oh, no parts.
That thing.
No parts of it. I want no parts of it.
So, I was talking to him and I said, you know, what's kind of the common thread of the class of 2020? Remember, this was the centennial class, the 20-member class. And he said, when you look around, him, Troy Polamalu, you know, Drew Pearson, Edgerrin James, so many of these guys, Cliff Harris, he's like, we are guys who did not speak much and let our actions handle business. And I said, that is a perfect description, you know, of this big class, because, you know, not a lot of people have heard Troy Polamalu speak. And he got up there and he gave that great speech. He pulled the thing out of his hair, let the bun, you know, let his hair, you know, flow down like that. How about that too? I changed gears. This was the all hair
class for sure.
Class of all time, with Drew Pearson with a big fro, Edge, Troy, Jimmy. I mean, the Buster now, you know, there's a whole lot of locks in that Buster room.
Nah, it's so funny because you talked about those guys being soft-spoken and quiet, but let's think about that centennial class just there, and think about how the league has changed and evolved. Because remember, like, I come from being a scout where we had to take notes of all those things and we had to make reference to those things. And so, like, you think about a cat like Edgerrin James with the gold fronts, the dreads, and imagine presenting in the room on a player like that, because, you know, there were these preconceived notions on what these guys would be based on their appearance. And let's think about Alvin Kamara when he came out and some of the backlash that he got when he had the nose ring and similar fronts and the hair and all that other stuff. We've evolved a lot in the National Football League. And I think seeing a bunch of those quiet guys who had different looks and packaging going to the Hall does show the progress that we made, even though there's still a ton of progress that needs to be made.
I was about to say, let's not pat, you know, perceptions and stereotypes on the back. Let's not forget that those do not exist. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it doesn't just apply to the black player with the dreads and the gold fronts, or, you know, the kind of kid from the Midwest country cornfield. I mean, how often do you hear of a privileged kid, you know, someone who grew up with money, like he's your typical rich suburban kid. He doesn't have that stuff in him. Because, you know, we heard that about Zach Wilson, right? That is the big thing with Zach Wilson. He's mm-hmm. this privileged kid who never had to grind. But you talk to the folks who really know, and Buck, you know the scouts who really know. We know what, and I'm gonna name one of them, Alonzo Heisman. Nobody can target a person's character and like who's a real dude and who's not like him. He's like, no, Zach Wilson, those guys are he's a real dude. He may have come from this and he may have, mm-hmm. you know, he may look like a model and this and that, but he's a real dude. So I think that's a great point. You know, we find out the difference in scouts, because some of them still have that preconceived notion. There are plenty of dudes. Bucky, this is why, you know, we talk about HBCUs. Like a lot of scouts, you know, they pretend like they go to HBCUs, but they don't do their work there because they have preconceived notions of what they're going to see or what they're mm-hmm. going to get. A kid who may not be as strong because he doesn't have a great weight room, or a kid, you know, who was 320 pounds and now he's 330 or 340 and it's all fat because he don't have a great training table, you know. And but who's to say if you don't put him on a great training table, he can't get his body together, you know. And so, you know, I think the good scouts, you know, they always tend to stand out because they see through things like Edgerrin James' gold front or the fact that he's from, you know, a real rural town in Florida, in Immokalee, Florida. And that's why I respect people like you who, you know, who will stand on a table and be like, put all that stuff aside, watch the film, talk to the people, and we're going to come out with a good player and a good person for our culture.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. You can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
game. Game.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
Look, it's funny that you took us down the line where we talk about HBCUs, but to me, Bill Nunn going in, we're beyond the centennial class, but Bill Nunn going in, but also Donnie Shell going in, and the HBCU and the legacy, because I think it has been neglected or not talked about, because it's been like yesteryear when HBCUs have been elevated like that. But I thought it was interesting on a weekend where we have those guys that really represented the efforts of HBCUs going to the Hall, while another HBCU product, Darius Leonard, receives a blockbuster contract. Just talk a little bit about that HBCU legacy, because Donnie Shell, and those who haven't had an opportunity to either know Donnie Shell or get around him, one of the absolute nicest men that I've ever been privileged to be around. He was the player engagement director when I was with the Carolina Panthers. I mean, you talk about soft-spoken, nice, professional, but man, a guy who obviously as a player could hit the switch and be somebody else. But he, to me, really embodies what HBCUs are really all about.
And Buck, he finished his career with like 54 interceptions. Like, why did it take so long? People said, yeah, he's part of that defense that had Mean Joe Green and Jack Lambert and Jack Ham and Mel Blount. So, you know, we can't put the whole defense in. Why not? Like the great Chiefs defenses with Willie Unier and Buck Buchanan and Bobby yes. Bell and all. They're all in. Emmett Thomas, all those guys, right? But okay, so check this out. So Donnie Shell was one of four people affiliated with HBCUs that got enshrined this weekend. So it was Donnie Shell, Harold Carmichael, the wide receiver for the Eagles, Bill Nunn, the great scout for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Winston Hill, the left tackle for Joe Namath's Jets. And Joe Namath was really instrumental in bringing Winston Hill. I mean, even when Joe got enshrined, he talked about Winston Hill and how great he was. Now he wouldn't be the quarterback he was without Winston Hill. So he went in posthumously. He was enshrined in April. But, you know, just the fact now that 35 members, I believe it's 35, of the Pro Football Hall of Fame came from historically black colleges and universities. It's more than 10%. But everyone kind of thinks that, you know, as you mentioned, the timeline stops like in the 70s with the great, you know, personnel from HBCUs coming to the NFL. No, it doesn't. I mean, you mentioned, you know, Darius Leonard. Okay, Darius Leonard went to South Carolina State, same school as Harry Carson. Same school as Donnie Shell. Mm-hmm. There are, and this is how the exclamation point I want people to take from this, there are four players from South Carolina State in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There is one from South Carolina and Clemson combined, and that is Brian Dawkins. So you can say whatever you want about small schools and this and that, and HBCUs, they produce. And the good scouts find them. And then those players, because they came up a certain way, like a Donnie Shell, who was undrafted, they worked hard enough with that constant chip on their shoulder to become great. So it was a big weekend in a lot of ways. And yes, the recognition of historically black colleges and universities came shining through as well.
Yeah, no, I think it was terrific. And so to talk about HBCUs and their impact on the game, I thought that came to the forefront. Another thing that came to the forefront for me was Jimmy Johnson going in. And I think Jimmy Johnson going in is significant because of what he created in Dallas and how he was one of the few to have the level of success, not only as a collegiate coach, but then as an NFL coach in the professional ranks. Talk about that impact or anything around Jimmy Johnson's entrance into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I covered Jimmy in Miami. And look, this is this, and besides all the success at University of Miami and all the success in Dallas, this is the only guy who has replaced two Hall of Fame coaches.
And Tom Absolutely. Landry, yeah. And I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about okay, you did it in Dallas. You win three Super Bowls after Tom Landry, starting out 1-15. You get to Miami, you inherit Dan Marino, but you are a run based coach. You know, Dan didn't like that, you know. So, he knocked on the door several times in Miami, but just couldn't quite break through. I mean, that's when the Bills were good, absolutely great. Yeah. And there were so many other teams in the AFC. It was really tough to get out. But Jimmy going through it, you know, it's the personnel. You know, Jimmy, you know, I talked to him at the Gold Jacket. He said he had 13 or 14 guys he had either recruited, coached, or, you know, traded or signed for who are now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And there will be more because there's no way they can keep Zach Thomas out for much longer. I mean, a linebacker for the Dolphins. He deserves to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, a fifth-round draft pick by Jimmy Johnson. So, you know, look, just, you know, his charisma and all that. You saw all the guys from the U surround Jimmy. There were a ton of guys from the Cowboys and Dolphins there. His impact was huge. You know, he went in with Bill Cowher and he went in with Tom Flores. You know, Tom Flores is a shame Tom had to wait so long to get in. Got that greatest the second best postseason winning percentage, got two Super Bowls, first Latino quarterback to start in the NFL, first Latino head coach to win a Super Bowl trophy. And it took now, and there's not a ton of coaches in the hall. So I get it. And I'm glad he finally got in. But it was just, you know, just to see again some of these clusters. You know, we figured out a lot of different clusters. Some of the undrafted guys, like Cliff Harris, the safety who came in with Donnie Shell, two undrafted safeties. Five safeties went in. I mean, for decades, they didn't put safeties into the Hall of Fame. You know, and then, you know, you come to the next night, you got the three first ballot Hall of Famers, Charles Woodson and Megatron, you know, and Peyton Manning, you know, going in, you know, with some of the, you know, with the Drew Pearsons of the world and Paul Tagliabue. It was really weird because a lot of people kept saying, because there's two classes going in, there's so many people in the Centennial class, does that dilute the impact of, you know, and kind of the heartfelt weekend of the hall? And what we found out is not really. You know, it went from having, you know, a starting five, so to speak, win a championship to a whole organization. It was a beautiful thing seeing guys from different generations really bond with one another and knowing that they're going to be united, you know, in that bus room in Canton forever.
You know, it's funny. Let's talk about the first ballot Hall of Famers because Calvin Johnson, Charles Woodson, Peyton Manning all go in. One by one, I think the Calvin Johnson one is the one that people kind of debated a little bit about. My take on Calvin Johnson is Megatron changed the game in terms of we had never seen anybody built like that have that kind of speed. And I think it's ironic, again, on a weekend where Harold Carmichael goes in, that Megatron goes in. Because Megatron is what everyone would say is kind of like the evolution of a Harold Carmichael. I remember as a kid watching Harold Carmichael being big and tall and dominating on the perimeter, but never imagining a guy that size could now have the speed and explosiveness to be a big play threat outside of being a jump ball specialist. Megatron completely scrapped that, changed that. I mean, I just remember when he borrowed somebody else's shoes to run 4.3 or whatever 40, at the combine. Like that's ridiculous. And look, his career was short and sweet, but people have to understand, he almost had 2,000 yards at wide receiver. He was an unstoppable force. And I do hope that one day he's able to patch it up and he and the Lions can get on the same page and kind of figure out whatever their issues are, because the greatest, he's one of the greatest Lions. He and Barry Sanders or whatever, but
yeah, Lem Barney, just, Billy Sims.
I would just like to see him celebrated the way he should be celebrated in the D.
Well, I mean, look, I think people in Detroit are celebrating him, but as you noticed in his speech, he wasn't thanking ownership of the organization. You know, he was thinking his teammates, the city of Detroit. You know, he still lives in Detroit. But, you know, Megatron, that's great. You know, the parallel you drew between Harold Carmichael and Megatron. Harold Carmichael was 6'8".
Yeah. You
know, he walked on at Southern University and became the player that he is. But Megatron, it was just, you know, talking to him over the past few months, you know, some of the things, you know, he'll never talk about himself, but, you know, we always see the great big plays. But the intermediate routes – And then some of the things you talk about from guys who played against him, the physicality, and not just the speed and the length, but the fact that he would ear hole you. In the run game, he would come in and blow guys up. And he said that he really took notes of watching Hines Ward, who he used to train with, you know, the former Steelers wide receiver, do everything, Swiss Army knife. And so, you know, he says the fact that he's in there, he thinks people appreciated the physicality of what he did. But you talk about changing the game, Bucky. I mean, people had to start getting big corners. You couldn't guard him. Even with like a 5'10" corner who could be all over, you couldn't guard him. And you watch highlights of Calvin Johnson, he is rarely not catching balls with people hanging over him. I mean, some of the most spectacular catches you will ever see. So, yeah, I mean, I know you said there was some controversy about him getting it. Not much.
Not much. I mean, I'm just saying, like, just there's controversy. But just because there's a logjam of wide receivers and people talked about the length of the career, 8-9 years, can you get it done? But obviously, the numbers speak for themselves and the dominance. And for me, when I think about Hall of Fame players, you kind of know it when you see it. Like, there's not a lot of debate. You know it when you see it. You sense it. It's funny you talked about the corners that had to match up. Charles Woodson going in. Playing with Charles Woodson. I played with Charles Woodson in Oakland. I played with him during his rookie year and his second year. Steve, I would just tell you, one of the most confident and most talented players that I've ever been around. I've never been around a young player who in his first year had a level of self-assuredness that he had. I mean, most of the time it takes an old vet that has been around the game enough to understand when to take chances and those things. Charles Woodson had it from day one. And defense coordinator, Willie Shaw, who is the dad of David Shaw, was the leader of that defense. And just he would pour into Charles and he got him to think about playing nickel and moving around and kept his interest up in those things. And then to watch Charles, who at that time really played on talent, wasn't necessarily the technician, was a guy that was just superior to everybody as an athlete and football player, but he hadn't really tapped into technique and really becoming the technician that he became in Green Bay. And then to see him kind of lose his way physically at the end of his tenure at Oakland, but remake himself at Green Bay and become one of the greatest Packers, to me, that is the beauty of his story, because he was a great player, but I think something happened to him in Green Bay where he not only became a great player on the field, but man, his philanthropic efforts off the field exploded with his maturity, his maturation, and the things that he was maybe exposed to as a Packer.
Yeah, look, you know, we all know you talk about him being talented, but you talk to guys like Tim Brown and people like that who were with him in Oakland then. They were like, he was going on talent because he wasn't committed, right? You know, he was kind of out there. He was kind of hanging out, do whatever. And then at the end of his career in Oakland, nobody wanted him. I mean, Charles has told me that he thought he's going to Jacksonville, but they were like, nah, we're not paying you that. He thought he was going to Tampa. No, we're not paying that. Green Bay was his only option. He'll tell you now that, yeah, you know, I signed with Green Bay because I really wanted to be there. No, he didn't. He didn't want to be there. That was it. Like, he's like, I'm this great dude and nobody wants me. It was like this completely humbling experience. And then he gets with Dom Capers, right? So now he's surrounded in a secondary or a defense that's got Clay Matthews, that's got Desmond Harris Bishop. He's got Al Harris on the other side. He's got this great secondary coach and Joe Witt, who's a developer of corners, right? Developed Tremont Williams. So they get Wood to play inside, outside. You know, Winston Moss told me the old, you know, linebacker coach, he actually had him playing outside linebacker techniques as well as safety. And so he embraced it and it became so great. And then he leaves Green Bay and goes back to Oakland and he's still doing it the right way. And it's funny, Buck, I've had conversations with Jalen Ramsey because, you know, Jalen Ramsey does the same thing. As Charles Woodson. And Jalen's like, hey, Deion is my guy, you know, the whole Florida State thing. He's like, but the player I always wanted to be like is Charles Woodson, playing outside, inside, playing run support, you know, following guys all over the field. And over to some of the conversations and things each other said, because Wood's like, Jalen Ramsey is the best secondary player in the NFL. You know, and he's like, because he plays like me. And so that bond, and see, in that respect, you know, we're seeing kind of the passing of the torch right there as well.
And so it's funny, right? So, and man, and I remember this because when Jalen Ramsey was coming out, I made that comparison. And I remember getting shouted down about that comparison, Jalen Ramsey and Charles Woodson. But part of the reason why I made that comparison is in knowing both of those guys very well. I knew Jalen Ramsey when he was a high school player, and I knew people that were really close to him, and I knew about his IQ and feistiness. And then my experience in playing with Charles and watching Charles mature into what he became, I was like, oh, that's who Jalen Ramsey is going to be. Like, he's built to play that, because there's some guys, the more responsibility you give them, the better they play. And I feel like Charles Woodson is like that. And obviously, when you saw Jalen Ramsey, I believe his game last year went up a notch because Brandon Staley put more on his plate. He didn't just stereotypically say, oh, you're just a lockdown corner. He said, no, you're a top-level defender. I'm going to put all of this on your plate and I allow you to be the leader that you want to be. And that's what happened. And I think Charles Woodson certainly was one of the first to be able to do all those things. Finally, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, everyone's going to talk about the speech and those things. What did you think about Peyton Manning over the course of the weekend?
Well, look, I mean, first off, the dude was like the most serious person there. Like, he seemed to be stressing over this whole weekend. I did a couple events with him. I'm like, dude, lighten up, man. But he understands the expectation. Like, you know, everybody was there to see him, which is why he's like, I don't want to go last. I don't want to take the focus off of these other great players like Calvin, you know, like Charles Woodson, like Tom Flores. You know, I want to – but, you know, look, it was just interesting because so many people, like the first night, of course, it was Steelers Nation, man. It was four Steelers going in. And the second night, it was Alan Faneca. So all the Steelers fans the first night were like, oh, man, there's not going to be anyone here tomorrow. All the Steelers Nation, we're 2 hours away, we're leaving. I was like, oh, no, they're going to show up for Peyton. Man, that stadium was like – half Colts jerseys, and then like a quarter Broncos jerseys. And then it was like, you know, a TMZ flash fest of superstars, you know, there to come see Peyton, you know, do his speech. But, you know, he really, you know, the great thing about Peyton is he really embraces the history of the game, as we know. So to watch him interact with people like Robert Brazil, you know, an old-time linebacker from the Houston Oilers, and Daryl Green, and then his current, you know, his old teammates, you know, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne was there, and Von Miller. And just to see him kind of ping pong from generation to generation to decade, his dad Archie was there and his family was there. But you saw how much, you know, this, you know, even though we knew he was going in, it was automatic, he understands now that he is in the company of the grandest players, and by no means is he at the top of the shelf in his mind, like, you know, oh, wow, there's Dan Marino. Oh, well, you know, there's John Elway, Jim Kelly, you know, Lawrence Taylor. Like, you could just see the kind of the humility of like, oh, my God, man, I'm with these guys. And it's a reality. It's just a sobriety check for so many people who go there, who understand what they meant to the game. But when you're there with Anthony Munoz and some of these other people, you're like, oh man, even in this, you know, great team of 350, I'm still sand on the beach.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. You can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You know, and what I love about like the Hall of Fame with all of these stories and everything, it does take us back to that moment. And then Peyton Manning, and then seeing Peyton Manning share moments and these things with Tom Brady, because we know Tom is going to be penciling there. I just think he gets really excited.
Think?
I mean, I think I wonder how long his debate will take. Like whoever is presenter when they're behind the scenes and going through. I mean, where do you start?
You stand. You stand up. You don't say anything. You show seven rings. Right? How many fingers I got up here?
Yeah.
Seven rings, and then like, maybe eight.
Yeah,
he's not done.
He's like, all right, I have Tom Brady. All right, we're good. do we need to run down all of his accomplishments? I think it's great. You know, let's keep it on the field now. That game to me was really interesting because Mike Tomlin, Mike McCarthy, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cowboys. You talk about the brands. Out of that game, one of the big things that stood out to me, Dwayne Haskins with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't want to jump on the Dwayne Haskins thing, but look, Steve. It's not lost to me that when I'm watching the game and I'm looking at Dwayne and I'm watching him perform and I'm like, that's a good throw. Oh, man, that ball's coming out. Oh, wow, he looks. And I'm looking at him and I know it's a preseason game. It's the first one. But I'm like, oh, that's Dwayne Haskins that we thought we were going to see in the National Football League. So what are your thoughts on Dwayne Haskins and the connection that he might have with Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, I spoke to some people about him, and they are really – even, you know, Kevin Colbert, the general manager. And they – look, Mason Rudolph is not guaranteed that number two spot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they want to see – they want to see Haskins press him because they know what they have in Mason Rudolph. They want to see Haskins press him. And so far, that looks like the case. The only thing with Haskins right now is, you know, it's the maturity thing. So maybe he is in the right environment. You know, and he said that Ben has really been helping him. Remember when they drafted Mason Rudolph, Ben was like, it's not my job to help him. But even though he did, you know, you haven't heard Ben say that about Haskins. So,
well, okay, I wonder why that is though. I wonder if that's a game recognized game thing. I wonder what that is that leads some veterans to mentor some guys, but not necessarily other guys.
Could be whether they like them or not.
That might be it too. But no, like, look, I would say this about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think it's perfect that Bill Nunn within. I think I've been around the league long enough to know what a Steeler is, and you can tell it right away. Oh, this guy's a perfect Steeler. So as much as I can talk about Dwayne Haskins fitting in, Najee Harris looks like a Steeler.
He's a real. And, he looks real. He looks real.
He fits the bill. And I'm gonna be honest, Kalen Ballage behind him,
yeah,
looks like. I wouldn't be surprised to see them completely flip their running back room in terms of like, hey, let's go back to the model that we know.
Big, physical
runners that can do things in and out the backfield. I was really impressed with the Steelers in that brief time. And I know it's just preseason game number one, but Haskins and those other guys really looked like they could be contributors.
Well, Bucky, no one said it better than Troy Polamalu. He said the greatest compliment, you know, the only people you have as a Pittsburgh Steeler, the only people you have to prove yourself to are the people who previously wore the black and gold. And he says, you know, you really belong when someone like a Mel Blount or Donnie Schell or someone says, you could have played with us.
Yeah.
That's the thread. That is the Steelers fabric. That was a great line. But I tell you who else, to me, just two things that jumped out in that game. Micah Parsons is real. The linebacker for the Cowboys is a real one. And look, Dan Quinn's like, I don't care. I'm going to show you. He played him inside. He played him off the edge. He sent him. But he was always around the ball. And the other thing that stood out mostly about that game is Dak better not get hurt.
Because
what's behind him?
Boo. Yeah, like, and I can tell you, haven't been around the team, haven't been up to a few practices at Oxnard. Dak Prescott looks great when he's throwing. He's still shaking off the rust. They have the weapons on the outside that are fantastic. Zeke is in excellent shape. They have everything that you need to have an elite offense.
But it's
all about the quarterback being there. I will say this about the defense, and it's very apparent. Dan Quinn, to me, has raised the energy level and the standard of expectations in that organization as a coach. His presence, he's an alpha presence. His energy and connectivity and communication really, really works. I know this because you mentioned this guy's name earlier, and I know you've been a big advocate and endorser of Joe Witt Jr. for a long time. I can tell you, Weiss, when I've been to four practices up there, his ability with Al Harris to really teach and communicate and to teach their guys how to communicate will make the Cowboys defense better. They are a team that is more connected. I don't know what it translates into in terms of how the defense will play in the end, but this defense is head and shoulders better than the unit that I saw last year. And a lot of that is Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. being able to set clear expectations for their guys and those guys falling through. And the final thing I'm going to say about Dan Quinn, what happened to Dan Quinn in Atlanta to me is the result of the way the Super Bowl fell apart at the end. And talking to two former Falcons right after that year in the offseason, they both told me, man, he's a great coach, but it's going to be so hard for us to trust him. We're right there. The game is ours. And in a situation where we needed the coach to step in and finish it, he didn't. It's going to be hard for us to do that. They said it. And look, I was like, yeah, that's hard. Maybe you can get through it. But that was really them foreshadowing. I don't know if we ever will be able to trust him like that. And you know how fragile that trust is. But being away from that environment, Dan Quinn absolutely has the secret sauce to be a very successful head coach whenever he gets that opportunity. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Cowboys players gravitate towards him more than even Mike McCarthy, because his presence is felt. It's a very, very real thing when he is around doing his deal with the Cowboys.
It's interesting you said that, because, Buck, you and I both know this, because we were real tight with the Packers when McCarthy was coaching them. Those players gravitated also towards Winston Moss.
Yeah.
Was a linebacker's coach, maybe more than McCarthy. You know, because Mike's not a great public speaker. He's a real good schemer and this and that. Winston Moss is a guy who often delivered the pregame talks. and things like that. You know, and Dom Capers was you know, he was a DC, mm-hmm. but, you know, Dom wasn't that dude also. So that's a great point about Dan Quinn. And, you know, Al Harris, I saw him there. I was like, ooh, I didn't realize Al was So, yeah, those corners got two real ones. I mean, yeah. with Joe Down Harris coaching that secondary, they got guys who know what they're doing. You see the length now, like Nation, mm-hmm. right, the guy they got from Oregon State.
Had a really solid debut. And when you watched him, it's funny because I feel like Al Harris, without being there intimately, Al Harris is a much better coach with Joe Witt doing his deal in the secondary. I was there before, and Al Harris is a Pro Bowl cornerback. He knows how to play the position. Some would say that when Charles Woodson came to Green Bay, Al Harris did the dirty work early until Charles Woodson got his confidence back and then was able to kind of become the guy that he played, that he ended up being with the Packers. And so Al Harris, this Joe Witt, the teaching of the young secondary, because the secondary is really moving around, making plays, getting their hands on a ton of balls. Michael Parsons is a real dude. And it's going to be interesting to watch this team because now you have Michael Parsons, Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch. You have Keanu Neal. Jabril Cox is in there. They're doing a bunch of different things trying to figure out who is on the field. And what it has done, when they put Michael Parsons on the thing, it upped the ante when it came to the competitiveness in the room. And Dan Quinn putting Leighton Vander Esch back in what he says is his more natural position, weak side end, you're seeing the athleticism come. I'm not saying that Jaden Smith is going to be the odd man out, but he's going to have to really, really step his game up because Michael Parsons and LVU, they're going to make a ton of plays this year.
Well, and Parsons got to play in sub packages. So, look, but Dallas' defense isn't going to do anything if they can't stop the run. Mm-hmm. Last year they were terrible against the run. So that's what they have to do first. Because you're in a division where you're going to run the ball. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick ain't throwing the ball 35 times a game. Daniel Jones better not be throwing the ball 35 times a game, because if he is, the Giants aren't going to be any good. And I think they're a sleeper team. I think they're going to be really good this year. You know, and the Eagles, you know, I don't know what the Eagles got. But Dallas has got to stop the run if they want to play ball in the NFC.
Since we're here and you brought it up, because you took me to the Giants, so I have to ask you this. What do you make of all the stuff that's going on with Joe Judge and all the stuff that's kind of coming out of there? Because we've all kind of been around the league long enough to know about the disciplinarian, hard-nosed, tough coach and all of that other stuff. But on the outside, people criticize Joe Judge for his tactics. But when you hear from the players on the inside, it seems like they're bought in. What have you heard about the Giants situation?
100% what you just said to the latter point. I mean, it looks like, oh, he's making them run laps. That's some high school business. He's holding them accountable. You know, look, a couple coaches do that. Arthur Smith does that with the Falcons. You know, it's a preseason thing. When they get in the regular season, that's you know, he may pull that every now and then. You can't go to that bag of tricks too often. But they say he may seem like he's that hard dude. They say, but he's not that hard dude. He's an accountable dude who is very much – the players are all about – you don't hear the players come out taking swipes at him except for Kelvin Benjamin, who – I mean, that was –
yeah, who was overweight, like who didn't take accountability for – they wanted him to weigh 251. He showed up at 268.
Yeah, he's lucky he got another day. He's lucky he got another day.
But it is what it is, yeah.
But, I mean, everything I heard from inside the building is that they love – I mean, this is – you know, I did something with Saquon Barkley last year. He's like, no, Joe Judge is the guy who's going to get us there. So, and you know, they've got – the name's blank in there. DC is great. The guy who was down in Miami who came
Patrick,
to the Giants.
What is
– right. I know, I'm killing myself right now that I can't think of his name. But, again, they're a team because of that accountability that other than, honestly, the injuries and Daniel Jones –
Patrick Graham.
But other than, you know, the giveaways last year, they didn't beat themselves with dumb penalties. And so – if they clean those things up and they take advantage of some of the pieces that they had this year, they'll be a player in the NFC East. No team – I mean, Dallas on paper looks like they're going to run away from the NFC East, but that never happens. I mean, those teams – it always comes down to the final 2 weeks in the NFC East. And I think the Giants do have an opportunity to be there.
All right, last thing before I let you go. I got to do this because I think this story doesn't have a direct parallel, but it's something that I think your perspective will help you maybe – answer my question on Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. I know you're down in Atlanta when everything kind of fell apart for Michael Vick and all of that other stuff where you see like a star and a fall from grace and those things. I'm not putting the allegations against Deshaun Watson on the same level. But you talk about a guy who was on the verge of being one of the faces of the league, who now appears to be on the verge of being jettisoned from a franchise that he said he didn't want to be a part of. And now it appears that they don't want to have any part of him. What is your take on the Deshaun Watson situation in Houston? How do we think this is going to play out in the end?
Yeah, you know, having done the Michael Vick thing, Michael Vick didn't want to leave Atlanta. I mean, he was it. Michael Vick was the dude in the city. I mean, so that's why when he got in trouble for fighting dogs, it was so divisive. With Deshaun, he didn't want to be here. We have seen the overall leadership of that organization go wayward. You know, they had a problem finding a head coach. So they end up hiring one of the most wonderful men you could find in David Culley. But are they going to support him? So when it comes to Deshaun Watson, here's the thing. The messaging, first off, is really, really hard. Well, everything is day-to-day with Deshaun. You know, we're not going to practice him here. We're not going to do this. Just come on, make a point. Like, look, until everything gets worked out, we're not going to have Deshaun around the building. Mm-hmm. Because all of this stuff, it looks worse every time they address it. Because Deshaun's not going to play down for the Texans this year, right? They clearly do not want him to take the field because of what has happened off the field. He does not want to be anywhere around there. He's fine with his teammates. When I was down there, the way he engaged with his teammates and position coaches, you know, it looked like nothing had ever happened. But it is just so, I guess, toxic is the word. And again, for me saying I'm not there every day. So from the outside, from people I speak with and just my 1 or 2 days of observation, it's toxic to have this hanging over an organization that is so in flux. Because, Bucky, they turned over 50 new players, right? The talent on that team, if they win this year, it'll be the most amazing coaching job ever. And I'm not trying to degrade any of those players who are professional football players. But just the assemblage of the way they went about assembling this talent, you know, not having a first or second round draft pick because of some of the trade, the Laremy Tunsil trade, and not being able to kind of build around the draft. And you're building around Ty Taylor. You know, this is kind of the survival year for their franchise so they can get their footing and see what they're going to do. So Deshaun Watson, I don't think he plays it down. At some point, I think he gets traded. They are not going to get the haul of 3 or 4 first round draft picks that they want. Where he goes, I don't know, because at the other end, it's a tough sell for an owner to tell a fan base, hey, I'm bringing in a guy who's got these 22 civil allegations, an NFL investigation, and a Houston police investigation against him for sexual misconduct, if you will. And so it's a really, really peculiar situation, but both sides need to get to make a break as soon as possible to just alleviate the weight that's on the shoulders of that franchise. Because it's not good. And again, every time they speak about it, it looks worse for everybody.
It's the weirdest situation that I've ever seen.
Because
here's the thing. Like, the Mike Vick stuff happens, like it goes away right away in terms of he disappears or whatever. But now, because Deshaun Watson is not on the commissioner's list, he's ready and available to practice. You have a guy who wants to show up because he doesn't want to give up the money for the fines, but doesn't really want to be there. You have a franchise that, like, now that he's here, what do you do with him? Because you're on the books for $20+ million that you owe him. And so at some point, though, Steve, this has to reach a resolution, because I can't imagine going into the regular season when a guy who played at an MVP level last year is going to be your QB3 holding a headset, making $20 million+. It doesn't make sense.
You can't do it. You can't have it. He can't be in the building. He cannot be in the building.
And so it's crazy, because Cam McNair, those guys just have Cam McNair, they just have to be okay. Like, hey, we're just going to pay the money and we're just going to eat it until we can move on from him, or we just need to move on from him and chalk it up. And the bad thing about it for the Texans, they would never get value in kind. They would never get the value on finding a quarterback that they drafted that played like a top 5 player at the position in his prime. I mean, not even really in his prime, in the beginning stages of his prime. You're going to move on from. You will never find, you won't find a quarterback that will be at that level at the same time. And so this is a loss for them. They just have to chalk it up if they're going to move on from them. They just have to chalk it up and know they will never get a player to match that back, and they have to figure out how to move forward and not have this be a black stain on the organization.
Well, I don't know how they're going to be able to move forward and have it not be a black stain. Because, look, if you trade him, you're going to take salary cap hits. That's going to really handicap you for the next couple of years in terms of how you can do this. So they have to draft well. But, Buck, you can't establish a culture for a new head coach with 50 new players and then the best one of those players not wanting to be there. And you can't decide. Look, when he took that practice field the first day, I'm like, what are they doing? Because there's no way. If he's going to practice, he's got to be your QB1.
So that was my thing, Steve. So my thing was this. Deshaun, you're not going to get your kick in either, too. You're not going to show up to practice so you avoid the fines and then not practice and play. I was under the impression, if I'm David Culley, hey, man, Tyrod, I know you've been practicing with the ones. Deshaun Watson's here, and right now he's not on the list. He's going with the number one offense. And Deshaun, you're playing. And we're going to go about this as if we're playing because you're in the building. Because right now, no one benefits. And as you talk about building and establishing the culture, you can't do any of it with him in the building doing what it is. And so there is no credibility that you can establish as a coach and as a general manager when you have this playing out like that. The players in the locker room would respect Nick and David more if they just cut bait with Deshaun right away and said, we can't stand for this. This is how we're going forward, and we don't care. Or when he comes, hey, he plays, and we'll deal with it out there. But what they're doing now, they'll never go forward. They'll never have anything that can be positive like this.
And just to bring this conversation back full circle, I remember with Michael Vick, Arthur Blank came out and said, look, we've spoken to the league, and it is best for when we start practice that Michael Vick not be here. We're gonna, you know, basically put him on our own commissioner exemplis and pay him to stay away, just so that's that. You address the questions on day one, and that's that. And you let everybody else who's out there dying in that 95-degree heat, doing everything they're doing to try to, you know, whether if they're playing for the Texans, if they're playing to earn their next contract or to put good film on tape because they're on a one-year deal, you let them use their motivations to come together as a unit. And I'm sure most of those guys, Buck, you know, players are doing that. And the coaches are out there coaching their hearts out. I mean, they're doing everything. But this will always be there. I mean, Mark Ingram or Philip Lindsay could have a great game one. The conversation is going to be about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Ty Taylor only completes a certain number of passes. The conversation is going to be about Deshaun Watson. So you have to figure out a way.
Make the decision.
To clear that. Make the decision. Just make a decision. Trade him for whatever you can get.
Whatever you're going to do. Trade him and get him out the building. Or reset and say, here's what we're going forward. Until we get more information from the National Football League, Deshaun Watson is our starting quarterback. We're fully going to support him doing all of this other stuff. We don't support the actions and those things, but we're going to support the player or whatever that is, whatever the Pittsburgh Steelers did with Ben Roethlisberger and similar things, whatever that is. But they have to make a decision. And the fact that this is taking this long to get to this, to me, it's just another indictment on the poor management skills of the people at the top, the decision makers.
It's bad. Yeah. I mean, look, they didn't ask for these allegations. You know, they didn't see that coming. But the way it's been handled and, you know, the fact that Deshaun wanted out even before then.
All bad.
It's just, there's no way you can look and not say there's anything positive brewing here.
All right,
other than they got a great human being as a head coach in David Culley, I just really hope that he gets supported down there.
It's unfair because, unfortunately, man, he waits forever to get his opportunity to be the head coach, and he absolutely gets – hosed and hammered right away because this is a tough situation, and he will never get the respect that maybe he deserves as a head coach because he's in such a hole. He has like one foot in the grave, another foot on the banana peel. Like he's been set up to fail right out the gate. And so it's unfortunate. And I don't care what people say, like walking away with a bag of cash does not give you your reputation back as one of the best coaches. We've seen it happen to others. And so we'll see how it bounces. All right, Steve, man, look, this was great bringing Cover 2 back, reincarnated. I felt like peaches and herb. Like we're bringing it all the way back, man. It was so great having you kind of sit in, drop the knowledge and those things. And I think even when we get DJ back, we got to bring you back in because that knowledge is supreme. I got to have it. I got to have it again. Thanks so much for joining the Move to Six podcast.
Well, I appreciate you, brother.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.